I invite you. I invite you to feel, feel in your heart, and feel what's true. Step into the space of the heart and say, yes. Yes, I'm willing to be compassionate. Yes, I'm willing to love. Yes, I'm willing to look at. Look at why it is these people annoy me. Why it is these people drive me crazy. I'm willing. To look at why I'm having this reaction. Why is it? Why is it that I'm having this reaction to another? Why is it that I'm struggling? We are all given this heart, and within our heart is an overwhelming movement of love. I found in my life, you know, that there's been many people who are literally have driven me absolutely crazy. But when I ask my heart how I shall respond, it's always with love, it's with patience. But I want to be clear here about being compassionate. My teacher, Lama Soltram, she once, having dinner with the Dalai Lama and a number of other Western teachers. And so, but the topic that they were speaking about was, there was a male teacher who had been sleeping with all his female students, and was causing all this trouble in the community. And the women were saying, well, maybe we should be just more patient with him. That would be the compassionate thing to do. And the Dalai Lama said, no. He got quite angry. Quite angry. And said, we will not have patience for this. No patience. No patience at all. We need to confront him. We need to confront the community and say, this is not right. And so compassion can be fierce too. So sometimes there's people who drive us crazy and they need to be told, hey, you can't talk to me this way. Hey, I'd like to set a boundary here. Hey. It's inappropriate what you're doing or saying or how you are treating me. And so compassion is not always just this flowery thing. It's not always a flowery movement. You know, sometimes we need to tell someone, clearly, no. And that's the most compassionate thing we can do. Again, compassion doesn't always mean patience. It doesn't always mean just rolling over and letting someone have their way with us. And so if someone's driving you crazy, it's good to look. Why? You know, why are they driving me crazy? Is it something within my egoic nature? Is it a projection I'm having? Or is it something they're actually doing where they need to be? They need to be straightened out. And so, yes, this is a beautiful question, so I appreciate it. And so, yes, from the Awakening Together group, yes, I encourage you, take the mic if you want to communicate to me, and you can go ahead and ask the question. You know, I'd be happy to hear what that is.
Hey Craig, it's Vishal. Again, thank you so much for your videos on Kundalini. They've been extraordinarily helpful to me. My question is actually on that. I've been kind of this past weekend. Oh, there it goes. Yeah, the sort of the energy's been kind of rising up from the base of the spine, and you know, your advice in one of your videos, it was wonderful. Just kind of. Instead of being like, instead of being terrorized by the energy, I just kind of have been seeing it as, you know, sort of God moving in me, through me, as me. It's been wonderful. And but yeah, sorry, my question is, it's rising, and it just kind of blocks up right at the base of my skull. You know, it just, I don't know, it just doesn't want to move easily past that. And it, my sort of intuitive looking at it, it just seems like, you know, if it's almost like if I let this energy into my skull, you know, I will be annihilated, right? This locus of me that's in the head, it's going to be annihilated. But yeah, I was just wondering, you know, what your thoughts might be on it. And I don't know, maybe it's a chakra, like a crown chakra thing, or a third eye thing. But I would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Yes, Vishal, that's a great question. So basically, you're telling me the Kundalini it's rising, it's getting up to the base of your skull, and then you said you have this fear that if you let go into it, you will be annihilated. Yes, and so this is a fun question. I know this experience. There's many times on the path when we feel overwhelmed with energy. You know, especially Kundalini. Kundalini is one of these energies that can be quite overwhelming, quite intense. Excuse me. You know, Kundalini is literally the force of the Big Bang. It's the energy, it's the creative impulse of God. And so when it awakens within you, that can be quite scary, quite frightening. You know, many people talk about Kundalini being just like this energy that's, you know, gently flowing in the background. And, you know, I normally don't refer, you know, to that as Kundalini. I normally call that prana or chi energy, or just the basic energy of our life force. But when Kundalini awakens, it comes, oftentimes it rises, it has an explosive nature to it. But you have to always remember, what is the source of this energy? What's the source of it? It's God. It's the Divine Mother wanting to give birth in you as you. And so oftentimes in life we have this fear. We have this great fear that the energy is going to overwhelm us. But we have to be really honest here about what true spiritual awakening is about. Spiritual awakening, it's like playing with fire. But not like playing with matches. It's like playing with a bonfire, a huge and explosive fire. And you must remember, who is this fire? This fire is God. And you're letting go into this fire. So the question is, my friend, is do you trust? Do you trust that if you let go into the grace of God, that something wonderful will happen? Do you trust that you're letting go into the beauty and the hugeness of the universe? Do you trust? Now, oftentimes when there's fear, it's because our ego is frightened of letting go, or our ego is simply looking at something that's greater than it. Greater than it. Now, I can remember the first time my friend John took me rock climbing, like real rock climbing. He's like a professional rock climber. And so he showed me the route we were doing. And I looked at it. And I noticed my ego came forward. And it was just overwhelmed. And there was just this sense, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. And that's the truth. The ego cannot do this. The ego wants to stay on the ground. Stay where it's safe. And that may be wise. If we're about to do something dangerous, you know, something crazy, you know, like rock climbing. But my friend Johnny said something interesting to me. He said, Craig, reach deep within and you'll find the strength. And true awakening is the same way. We cannot cave before fear. And so often in life we have these chakra openings or these overwhelming spiritual experiences. And the thought is, it's going to kill me. The force is too intense. And we must remember, we are letting go into life. Not into death. We are letting go into new life. New life. We are letting go into something quite incredible. Something boundless. Something bigger than what you are. And so when you face something, it's bigger than what you are. And you have a couple choices. One is just to give up and to quit. A two, if you're kind of crazy like me, you just jump in. You jump in without knowing what you're doing. You just jump in. And I've always been kind of crazy like that. I'll just gonna jump in the deep end. And it's frightening, I'm not going to lie. It's like, you know, cliff jumping. You jump off a cliff. It takes your breath away. With cliff jumping, in theory, you don't die. With spiritual awakening, I'll guarantee to you, my friend, you won't die. Because you're letting go into God. This immensity that you fear, it's simply your own self. When we truly wake up, we bow before God and we bow before our own nature when we see how huge we are. How huge we are. And so to our egoic nature, when it faces something immense, you know, when it has that, you know, excuse my language, but that oh shit moment, ego really freaks out. When it sees something it doesn't understand, when it has to let go of control, it really freaks out. And so again, we can stay on the sidelines, you know, we can give up our meditation practice, which, you know, for most of us, if we're sincere, that's not an option. Or we can just jump in and see for ourselves. Is this force, is it actually going to kill me? Or is it simply a tremendous amount of energy? A tremendous amount of grace, of vastness, of spaciousness. You know, I used to go to my teacher and say, David, I feel like I'm being eaten alive by God. And he used to smile at me and say, yes, good. Yes, good. Be annihilated. And wake up and notice that you didn't die. You were born again into new life. New life. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes if our ego is very persistent, if it's, if there's a lot of pain, if there's a lot of heartache in our egoic nature, sometimes it's helpful just to remind our ego, hey, you're letting go into God. You're letting go into the truth. You're letting go into something good. Sometimes it's helpful just to soothe your ego, to help it relax. You know, if you're a good Buddhist, you feel your feet on the floor, you breathe, and you notice it's just an intense experience. But if you talk to yourself in a gentle way, really soothe your ego, be like, hey, just relax, buddy, it's okay. It's okay. And help it to calm down a little. It's more likely to let go of its grip that it has on you with the fear. And so you play with these things, for sure. Play with these and see. See what happens. Now, I've had death come to me numerous times, you know, while sitting in meditation or through some grand spiritual experience. And I said, okay, show me death. Show me death. I've had some bizarre, frightening, white knuckle, you know, lose all the blood in your face and that kind of experiences. But in the end, they all ended quite well, quite beautifully, I can assure you. So you play with that, and then you let me know how it goes. Let me know how it goes. But the big thing on the path is when you're facing something immense, is can you let go? Can you trust? Can you smile and say, God, show me your true face. Now, there's a story of Arjuna when he was meeting with Krishna, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, and he said to Krishna, show me the true face of God. And Krishna, you know, was kind of saying, I don't really want to show you, it'll be too much. And Arjuna said, no, I really want to see the true face of God. And so Krishna lifted the veils, and Arjuna was absolutely terrified of what he saw. It was so brilliant, so vast, so huge, so immense, and he couldn't handle it. But if you keep opening that door, keep saying yes to God, what you'll find is at some point it's just too late. Too late. You just get gobbled up by this divinity. And that's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. You know, I can also say this. You know, God has very many hidden agendas for us. God wants us, literally wants us, to discover our innate fearlessness. And in order to step into a space of fearlessness, you have to face fear. You have to face death. You have to face annihilation. But remember, this doesn't mean, you know, we need to go out and be foolish and become soldiers and jump on the battlefield or put ourselves in dangerous places. We just have to face these fears within us. And like I said, with God, you know, God having this agenda of you discovering your hugeness, the hugeness of what you truly are. And God will make you face these things, face the limiting nature of ego. God will bring you terrifying experiences. I can't tell you how many times when it felt like my belly, you know, sunk, and my throat clenched. I became white knuckled, you know, even while just sitting in meditation. I felt the fear of death come into me. And because I'm kind of crazy, I just said, okay, let's see what this is. Show yourself to me, God. And with that, God often smiles and shows us something quite beautiful. Quite beautiful. So, anyways, a beautiful question, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. And so, yes, let's see what else, what other questions popped up. And so I have emails, and then let's see. Carlos has a question here. He says, how can I know when it's time to have a strong backbone and when to surrender to experiences? Well, I say these are normally the same. Now, having a strong back means you are deeply surrendered. You're surrendered to the truth. You're surrendered to love, to compassion, to fierceness. So having a strong back and being surrendered is the same thing, my friend. Oftentimes people think when I talk about having a strong back that they think it means like being in your ego and acting tough. And so having a strong back means saying yes to life. It means not caving to our emotional mind, not caving to our habitual thinking mind. You know, having a strong back is an open-hearted endeavor. You know, if you have a strong backbone with no open heart, there's a good chance you're just stuck in your will. Your egoic will. But you must, you know, you must really feel within yourself intuitively. You know, sometimes having a strong back means you surrender your own ideas and you choose to be patient with someone, you choose to be loving with someone. Sometimes, you know, having a strong back means you choose to be the bigger person and you choose to love when someone's given you a really hard time. And so, yes, this is a great question. We don't ever want to surrender to ego. And we don't ever want, you know, this teaching of this having a strong back, being connected with ego, or some form of, you know, compulsive willpower, or habitual will, or I need to get my way, or this or that. It's having a strong back and open heart. Both are necessary, and they work together. You know, it's like two sides of the same coin. So it's a beautiful question, Carlos. Thank you. Thank you for this. Yes, and Marlene says, kindness is important, but it's important to live one's principle for the highest good of all involved. Yes, absolutely true. Absolutely the case. You know, when you're connected with your heart, what you'll find is we tend to do what's good for all. Not just ourself. Not just ourself. When we're connected to ego, it's all about ourself. It's all about me and my way and my thoughts, my ideas, my opinions. And so the further you go up the ladder of your own consciousness, up and out of your human, like animal body, your human egoic body, your egoic mind, you step into a higher consciousness, what you find is you start to care more about friends and family, the people around you. You care about the animals on the planet. You care about the trees and the sky and the earth. You become world-centric instead of ego-centric. So you're developing, we are all developing and growing out of egocentrism. And then we tend to, step into just focusing on our friends and family or those who go to our church or our political group, and then hopefully we outgrow that. And then we become world-centric, where we care about all the beings on this planet. Not just us, not just our nation. After 9/11, there was this, these stickers everywhere that said, God bless America. Standing tall, standing proud, this and that. And then, there were some individuals that said, got these bumper stickers that said, God bless every country, everyone and everything. And see, that's a higher level of consciousness, to move beyond nationalism. To move beyond just thinking about oneself and one's family. And so we're all growing here. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to come into our heart and ask our heart, what's true? What's true in this moment? How shall I show up in this moment? Yes, so beautiful. Beautiful, thank you. Okay, let's see what else I have for questions here. Excuse me. How do we negotiate a world of unconscious zombies? This is a beautiful question. I love this one. And so one of the things that our egoic nature does, if you notice, it's always negotiating. It's negotiating like thoughts and feelings. We, a lot of people have, these endless arguments inside where they have one voice arguing with another voice. And so most of us know the dream world inside. But the more you wake up, the more you begin to see that, much of the world lives like zombies. Where they're walking around, very, very unconscious. Very unconscious. And so there's this funny thing that happens in life, that when we wake up, like in the beginning, we feel like we are awake and everyone else is asleep. And it feels like we, we live in the true world, the world of reality, and everyone else lives in the dream world. And it's easy for us to become judgmental, become like really judgmental to people around us. And I can remember when I first experienced this transcendent awakening. I was like literally walking around. I felt like I was in a movie. And everyone was characters. But I was just watching the movie. I thought, oh, everyone's asleep. They don't realize that their thoughts are just thoughts, that they have no reality to them. They believe everything they think in their mind. And I saw just this grand dream that was before me, this grand play. But after a period of time, I noticed that I developed a subtle judgmentalism about everyone around me. And as my awakening deepened into my heart, what I found is that judgmentalism fell away. It started to fall away, and I realized that everyone was God. Everyone is divine. Everyone deserves to be here. Everyone deserves to be treated with compassion and dignity and respect. Now, it doesn't mean you let people walk all over you. But as our awakening deepens into our heart, we start to love more, embrace more, be more tolerant and accepting. But it doesn't mean you buy into it. And like, I'm not going to sit and listen to cable news all day and buy into, that zombie-like nature of the craziness that goes on, of, political parties arguing this and that, this and that. You don't buy into it. But when you meet with someone and you look in their eyes, you treat them with love and respect. But it doesn't mean, you need to buy. Buy what they're trying to sell you. Especially if it's a whole cartload of manure. So, anyways, a beautiful question again. So, here's a great question. Craig, when you follow your own joy and excitement, when do I trust whether I should just transcend this joy and excitement or follow it? Is joy leading us into expansion, or does only equanimity bring us true liberation? Of course, both. One of the qualities of the awakened mind is joy. One of the qualities is also fearlessness. One of the qualities is equanimity. And so we want the whole picture, the whole picture. And so a great thing to ask ourselves here is when you find yourself, chasing something exciting, you have to look at, like, why am I excited about this? Is this just like a shallow thing? Or is there something real here? Is there something real? I get this junk mail all the time that says, Mr. Holiday, you've won a new car. Come down to the dealership and you may have a chance to win a new car. And, if I was a fool, I would say, oh, well, I won, and get really excited and chase something that's, not really going to come, not really going to bring me happiness. I've had many opportunities in my life where someone offered me a job, where I could make lots and lots of money, three or four times as much as I'm currently making. But I know if I followed that job, it's not the truth. And if I'm not in the truth, I'm not going to be happy. I won't be happy. And so my job, yes, is to sit from this place of equanimity and just notice what will actually bring me joy. What is the truth here? What's the truth here? It's funny, I don't actually think so much about joy because I find myself to be naturally happy. When you give yourself to the truth, oftentimes God makes you work hard for others. You show up and you do all this work for others. But you're so happy because you're caring, you're serving, because you're in your heart. This is what brings us true joy, is serving others with our gifts. With our gifts. Whatever that gift may be. You don't have to be a counselor or teacher like me. You can be a father or mother or a good loving partner. Or just a great friend. This is what brings us true happiness. This is what brings us true joy. And so if you listen to the truth within you and follow that truth, what you'll find is you'll be eternally happy, even when things are quite difficult, quite painful. But getting back to your question here, what you'll notice, there'll be times in your life when your heart lights up, and that has a different feeling than just excitement. You'll feel this resonance in your heart. Your heart says yes, and that's the way forward. That's the way forward. It's a beautiful question. Okay. So, here I have another question. I'm sorry, I have had a bunch of questions this week. Won't be able to get to them all. So if I didn't get to your question, please resubmit it, and I'll do my best to get to it next week. This one's from Marcel. I was talking to Marcel about getting stuck in mind states. And he feels like he's been stuck in his head for a long time. What can I do to get out of this mind state? Marcel, my friend, you have a beautiful heart. One of the things that happens with these mind states are like when you get stuck in your head and you can't get out of it. The big way of getting out of your head is feeling in your body. Feeling in your body. And if your mind state is quite powerful, one of the things I highly recommend is going to a yoga class. And when you go to yoga and you listen to the teacher and she guides you or he guides you down into your body, down into the soles of your feet, you start to feel the radiance in your body, the radiance in your heart, the radiance in your hands. In order to get out of the head, I encourage you to pay attention to everything from the neck down. So the heart, the belly, the pelvis, the legs, the arms, the hands. Get in your body, my friend. Get out in the grass. Walk around barefoot. But go to a good yoga class. Spend 90 minutes doing yoga. What you'll find is that mind state will have mostly, if not totally, disappeared. It's hard to be active and in your body and be stuck in a mind state. The yoga is so good, so beneficial if you find yourself just like up in your head, you know, lost, lost in your head. And so yes, that's a great question. I know we all know this experience, but doing something physical, doing something that brings you joy, something that makes you happy and gets you in your body in a felt way. It's the quickest way to get out of the mind state. Okay, let's see if I can do another question here real quick. Craig, I'm a little confused about letting go. It doesn't go that well on my own. Like there's still some things in the way. I feel like if I don't also practice focusing on the heart and breath and the belly, my mind gets so distracted. Yeah, a big part of letting go is spending a life in meditation and having what I call meditator's mind. And so anytime you notice your body tight and tense, you are taking deep and full breaths. Deep and full breaths. Just breathing, feeling, experiencing. Exactly what I was telling Marcel is you're feeling in your body. You're letting go into your direct experience of this moment. Letting go into the direct experience of this moment. And so breathe, feel, experience. And let go out of that head, that busyness of the mind. Come into your heart. For some of us, letting go is a full-time job. Once you let go deep enough, what you'll find is it's quite easy to rest in your heart and quite difficult to be in your mind. You know, anytime I have to think hard about something, it feels like such pain, such pain. And it's so easy to come back to the heart. So get comfortable in your heart. Get comfortable letting go into this radiance. So yes, thank you all for these great questions. Thank you all for your patience with me. I know with the Facebook Live, I had a slow start. With the Awakening Together group, I'm really sorry. I had difficulty getting into the room. It's like it didn't show that as an option. And so I apologize. I hope I'll have it sorted out by next week. I'll play around with it and see. But thank you for your patience with me. And again, forgive me for my technical difficulties, and thank you for being patient. I also want to thank everyone for offering the donations from last week, and I want to say thank you in advance for those donating this week. If any of you are want to know how to get, how to donate, you just visit my website, craigholiday.com, and there's a donate link there. So thank you so much for supporting these teachings. Thank you so much for showing up with such open hearts and being patient with me this week. I'm so glad I was finally able to make it all work. So anyways, take good care, and you can keep sending the questions in. If I didn't get to yours, I'll just resubmit it, so I'll have it next week. And I truly want to just honor, you know, everyone showing up and joining me in this way. So thank you all so much. Peace be with you all, and may you all have a wonderful night or morning or whatever time of day it is, where you are. Take good care. Good night.